Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show with myself, Noel Valbon. And we're back again. Hope everyone is well, keeping safe, and ready for the pubs to open this weekend. I certainly am. It's going to be really, really weird, isn't it? So hope you've had a good week, as I said. So we can welcome Mr. Lee Curtin to the show this evening. Hello, Lee. How are we doing?
Yeah, too bad, mate. Yourself?
Okay, Lee. Thanks for asking. Looking well. Kofi, all the way up in Liverpool, that must have been a bit of a, I think we can safely say, a shit week. If you were a Liverpool fan in Liverpool, how has it been? Are they still celebrating now, the Scallywags?
I think most of them have been arrested now, so it's calmed down a little bit.
That's good. That's solid. Have you still got your hubcaps in your car?
I don't know. I'll go and have a look.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Nice one. And we have Don rocking a Sao Paulo shirt. How are we doing, Don? You well?
I'm not too bad. Thanks for telling everyone about my Sao Paulo shirt. Cheers, mate. Right. Thanks all for right. that.
Okay. Everyone's allowed to have a second team, and, you know, it's not like it's Chester. Weird. Okay, so it's time to start with our last game. Obviously, as we always do, we talk about what happened in the game, and we talk about the result. It was a good result. It was a good win. We managed to get the 3 points. We managed to get a clean sheet. There were three of us in the panel that predicted a 2-0 victory. Mr. Lee Curtin, Kofi and myself. Don, you went for 3-0, even though you weren't involved. So that was unlucky. Kofi, what were your thoughts on the game? Do you think we deserved the 2-0? Were you scared when West Ham had quite a bit of possession early on and they were peppering the goal and they looked like they sort of wanted it a little bit more than us? What were your thoughts on the game?
I think we deserved the win, and it was nice to get the second goal and be comfortable towards the end. But really, probably 1-0 would have been a better reflection on the game. As you say, West Ham attacked early on and they defended very well, good shape, getting everyone back behind the ball, and we looked like we were going to struggle to get through them and get the goal. And I think, you know, our goal was quite fortunate. Given it was an own goal, but at least our corners are better than they used to be.
Oh well, that's not a massive. There are a few that he overhit, but yeah, I think they are a little bit better on set pieces. Were you surprised at the lineup, Lee? Did you think it was going to go the same? Obviously, he went with the same back five, and then he also went starting wise. He left Bergwijn on the bench, and also he left Lamela on the bench. So what did you think of that?
We always knew that he was going to bring Dele in.
How do you think Dele did?
I thought he worked hard, but he you can see he's rusty, ring rusty. The game he hasn't played. That's his first match, and it's funny when it comes because they're all training the same. But actually, we always go back and arc on about match sharpness compared to training sharpness. And you could see he'd already looked like he was a little bit behind the guys who had already just finding their way into the second match. So he lasted an hour. I thought he kind of worked quite hard, but in terms of possession of the ball and what he did with it, it wasn't overly great. It wasn't overly impressive. So he was naturally the first substitution that I would have made. I think Bergwijn was unlucky not to be starting. And again, I think Jose made it quite clear that Lucas and Dele were going to come back into that team. So Lucas had a great effort and he had a good effort on goal in the first half. But again, kind of flattered to deceive, really. I think Bergwijn was unlucky not to be in that team into that starting 11. And you go back to even just before the break, he's kind of the only one who looks like he might know where the goal is on a regular basis at the moment. You know, if you put his last six kind of games together. So, yeah, I thought that was the only change that I wasn't overly happy with. But the rest kind of, yeah, I think spoke for itself as expected.
So when you say change, you would have kept in Bergwijn for Mora or for Ali?
For Mora, okay. Yeah, definitely.
I think Lee's right there, Don. In terms of the attacking prowess and the scoring, Bergwijn seems to be streets ahead of Mora, does he? It seems to be like, you know, he's he's the one real attacking force. Obviously, we've always got Son on the left there, who's always going to be good for a goal. He's always going to be that one to push forward. But I think Bergwijn, for me, he seems like he's equally attack-minded and equally capable of taking that man on and getting that shot in more than Ali and more than Moura.
Yeah, I have to agree with Lee there. I think that Stevie's definitely the one that looks the sharpest out of all of our attacking players at the moment. I've got to say, though, I quite like our defence. I think it looks actually quite solid at the moment. Compared to what it did early on in the season, it looks as if, you know, that back five, as the press have rightly pointed out, it seems that Jose is building from the back. So to pick the same five was all right with me. And I think for most fans, we need to get off, you know, this... you need to get off the high horse of the Tongan and Alderweireld and maybe just go with this for the time being, at least for the rest of the season anyway.
Who would be your choice pairing at centre-back, Kit Lee?
I quite like Dyer. And I think, I've said before, I think Dyer's one of these players, as long as he's getting a regular run of games and he's sharp, he's decent. I think you find Dyer at his worst when he's stop-start, chucking him on for 20 minutes or dragging him. And he looks fit. He looks like he wants to play as a centre-back. He's organising. He doesn't have to involve himself as much unnecessarily as well. So he's getting a chance to kind of mark. He's getting a chance to kind of move Sanchez around. He looks more comfortable. He looks like he's ready to, you know, challenge for that role. So at the moment, you've got to say it's probably Dyer and either Toby or Sanchez. And we know why he goes for Sanchez, because he gives us the pace. But he gives us the pace, but he still scares the living daylights out of me, mate. You know, so he looks like he's relaxed a bit more. It looks like Dyer's actually talking to him on the regular and keeping him from running around. I kind of call him Happy Feet. Because he's, you know, he goes running off into spaces where he shouldn't sometimes. And he did that silly header a couple of times in the Man United game because his feet took him one way. And it looks like Dyer's actually got hold of him and he's just trying to keep him in a position which may benefit him. And we might see a different level of Sanchez moving forward. But Jan's got to go. We know that. And Toby's, we know he hasn't got the pace. And the way we go through games and the number of games we play, why can't Toby expect to rotate in and out along with Dyer at times? You know, why not? Nobody's a given, really, unless you're number 10. I don't think you're a given. So, and I think
would you expected him to have rotated a little bit during those games because he didn't make any changes in
only forward,
back
only forward, mate. I think I'm happy. Like Don says there, I'm happy with a solid back. Give me the same goalkeeper. Give me a solid back four, solid back five. Don't mess around with those. I think Poch started doing that for a little while, and I think it cost us in the end. So, always happy with a regular back five. But I thought there'd be a bit more rotation up at the top.
Fair enough. Kofi, finally, was it good to see more like the old Harry Kane back? Did you think it was a streets ahead of the performance that he gave against Man United? And did you feel that he was close to his best? That was a bit of a lisp with your claim.
I think you sounded a bit like Harry there, but I think one, he was getting a bit more of the ball, and people were putting the ball into better spaces for him. We struggled to push forward against United. But we were getting the ball up to him a lot more, which was great. And it was great, you know, the way he took his goal, because he had to run. You know, it was a good little foot race. He showed that he's fit, showed there's no issues with the hamstring, and just slotted it away in the way that we know he can. So, you know, I think it was great. It was a brilliant opportunity for him. Not back to his best just yet, but he's on the way.
Definitely. It was, like you said, the way he took that goal, that was like just classic Harry. You know, when you put him in those positions, he is just an absolute cert for a goal. You just knew he was going to score. Any other standouts from the performance? What was your sort of general overall feeling, Don, about the game?
I thought that for the first sort of 15, 20 minutes, West Ham clearly come for a draw. I think once we'd worked them out, we had a few chances. It's only the second game, so we can't expect too much. My expectations were to win, of course, but I didn't think we'd score. Well, I said 3-0, so I suppose I'm expecting quite a few chances. And I think we had a few chances. An improvement on the Man United game from an attacking perspective. And, you know, I'm just gutted that we're not in any of the other cups, because we kind of, as you've seen with some of the other teams, they may gather momentum from that additional game.
You mentioned more of an attacking threat. That only really came in the second half, I would say. And that also maybe, I think Lamella made quite a big difference in that as well. I know that obviously Bergwijn came on, but Lamella is proving, I think, that he is quite crucial. He obviously got back to win the ball to set up the attack. Do you think that he's forcing his way in to potentially being in Jose's first 11, as it were, at the moment? Or do you think he's just set?
I think that Eric Lamella is amongst it. I'm not sure if he can play like successive games. I don't know if his body can kind of hold up, and he can be a constant, you know, choice in a Jose Mourinho team. I do, however, think that he can change games, and I think that, you know, changing them, whether he's coming on or starting and then coming off. He's got that bite. I think he can make a difference, but I'm not sure he can hold down a place in the team.
Okay, good to know. Well, obviously, Jose does listen to the show, as we know. So, Jose, let us know what you think. So there was an interesting article this week. Well, it was a podcast, actually, where Kieran Trippier was basically talking about his time at Tottenham and his thoughts on the current team and just his general perception on how things were towards the end. Quite interestingly, he said that he thinks we would have won the Champions League if Moussa Dembélé had stayed and not been sold. He said he's an absolute beast. He said you could happily give him the ball with three people around him, and he was deserved of a first-team place still, and that if he had stayed, we would have won the Champions League. That is a very, very bold statement, Kieran. Kieran? My lisp is coming back. Okay, so over to Kofi. Kofi, let me know what your thoughts are on this. I'm intrigued to know if you agree, because it looked to me as though Dembele was almost on his last legs in the UK. He was looking much more tired. He definitely had lost a bit of pace. And that was sort of almost part of his game in terms of driving runs from midfield. So was he right in saying that, Trippier? Do you think that we lost something? I mean, it was presence, obviously. We lost a presence in that midfield area. Sissoko has obviously tried to fill that void, and he's done very well. And Ndombele, obviously, less so. And we'll come on to that in a second. But what do you think about the Moussa Dembele absence and how much it affected us for the remainder of last season?
I think it's difficult to rewrite history. Certainly in the final, we absolutely could have done with him. Moussa in that final would have controlled the midfield. And, you know, when we were on top, he'd have been pushing forward and it could have been a different result. However, you look at the semi-final and that amazing game in Amsterdam, and we were just going for the win. You know, we were playing balls from deep. We were getting it forward quickly. The shape had disappeared at some times. And actually, would Moussa have made us play in a different way in that game? He didn't play in that game. So it's hard to say that it would have turned out the way that it did had he been on the pitch. Now, I'm not saying he's any worse than anyone that was playing. You know, he's one of our best players. And as we know, everyone at Spurs will say that he's the best player at the club at the time. And people that played against him would always say he's the best player they've played against. But the way we played against Ajax, there wasn't a lot of shape. It was about, we need to score. Let's get that ball up there and let's see what we can do. And I just wonder if we'd have played in that same fashion with Moussa in the team for that game. So It's hard to say, you know. Drop him into the final, absolutely. But
would you think it was like Levy being tight again, trying to just squeak out a little bit of extra cash? I mean, I hate to bring it up, but it does seem sometimes that his money does rule his head more than anything else. And, you know, I don't think Dembele would have knocked down his door and said, I really want to go now. You know, we were doing well. So I don't see why he would have wanted to leave in January. And we didn't really have, I mean, we did have Sissoko, we did have Winks. Obviously, Dyer can play there. But it's not like we had loads of backup in that area. So was it a mistake, Don, do you think, to let him go at that time, thinking about what we then had to come with the season still left?
I have said it before, but at that time, I was a little bit upset at him leaving in the January window. And it's not so much that he's leaving because, you know, players come and go. It's more the fact that if you're leaving and he is, as Kofi said, when if you ask any member of the squad, who's the strongest player in the squad, who's the best player in the squad, you know, Dembele is going to be mentioned, you know, 9 out of 10 players. So if that's the case, then we should really have had an adequate replacement, especially when Wanyama wasn't really playing. Wanyama was still at the club, but he wasn't really playing. I think Dier was injured. Did he not get, was that, I get my seasons mixed up, but I think it, that was a season that he'd gone. He had some sort of operation. And then we were left with Sissoko and Winks. And I mean, prior to that season, Sissoko was not everybody's cup of tea. I'll say, again, 9 out of 10 fans would say, you know, they want him out and they want a new midfielder. So I just, you know, I think it's, I look at the club and I think that they kind of messed up there. It's not about money. It's not necessarily about, we only paid £11 million for, you know, at that time wasn't an extreme amount of money from a player from Fulham. And it worked out really well for us. So I don't see why we shouldn't have signed an adequate replacement. And even if it was a stopgap, I think we needed one. You know, we're a top four side, or we were a top four side back then. And I think that we should have acted like one rather than not purchase players for, you know, a whole year.
Yeah. Well, it's not even just getting a replacement. Just don't let him go in the window, no, Lee.
Well, if you're going to let him go, then you need a replacement.
Yeah, exactly.
I think ultimately to leave ourselves short like that was a poor move. I think you're right to probably drop Levy's name in there, because I think we paid 10 million for Musa or 11 million for him back in the day, and we made 11 million back, or we got 11 million back for him. So if you say, was it money, or, you know, was it money motivated for the club then, or for Levy, then yes, it was. But what I will say on Trippier's comments is it's worth pointing out he'd only actually played 10 games at that point before he left that season. He was struggling with fitness. So as you alluded to earlier, was he on his last legs? Yeah, possibly. Or not possibly. I think he made it quite clear now that he's pretty much wrapped up. And even when he made his move to China, he didn't play until March. He didn't make his debut till March because of injury. So do we look at it and go, do we win because of him? Listen, it'd be nice to have him on the pitch, but, you know, somebody who's not 90 minutes fit is going to be a problem. So we lost the Champions League final. And I think a lot of people, if you're going to be brutally honest, will go, because Harry Kane played over Lucas Moura at that point in time. And Harry hadn't kicked a ball for however many months it was. So could you imagine rolling out in a Champions League final and putting a three-quarters fit Dembele out there and a three-quarters fit Harry Kane out there? You'd get absolutely slaughtered.
Yeah.
You know, it's all very well keeping a ball, but you can't keep a ball when you're 1-0 down after 4 or 5 minutes. We don't want to keep the ball. You've got to chase the game. So actually, when you look back at it and how it all unfolded, yeah, I like his sentiments, but the actuality of it is I don't think it's quite true. So Yeah, I mean, we and listen, Moussa, absolute goat. We miss him. You know, we miss him. But would he have made a difference in that final? I don't think that's where our problem actually was. And when you look at Winks, who probably Tottenham's man of the match that day. So it wasn't in midfield the problem, is my point.
Sure. Okay. What he also said was, with regards to his own career at Tottenham, he said that he did feel the boos from the Tottenham crowd, which I thought was quite interesting because they don't always speak about that kind of thing and sort of how it affected him. He said that it did affect his confidence. He obviously had Kyle Walker-Peters and Kyle Walker to deal with. And then obviously he had the Serge Aurier coming in. So he had some difficult players up against him, but he said that it was affected him. And he also said that he was playing pretty much about 60 or 70% at the level that he thought he could have been in terms of his fitness. But then then Pochettino kept on playing him. So therefore his performances weren't great, but he should have probably been big enough and man enough to say, I'm not fit, Gaffer. You know, I think someone else should play. But then obviously you're losing your place in the team. People might think that's a sign of weakness, and you play, you don't do very well, the crowd get on your back, and then it's a bit of a vicious circle. So it's quite a weird one for him to admit to playing at that level of fitness throughout the remainder of the season, almost, it was. Kofi, were you surprised at that?
Not really. I think it's difficult. You say man enough, but I think it's difficult for a player to say, I can't play this week, I don't feel fit. You know, it may have worked with Poch, it certainly wouldn't work with Jose. We know that he's had players that have done that to him before, and he's just said, right, you're not in my squad. I think that something that's overlooked for us is that we did so well at the World Cup. And what I mean by that is we had players in the England squad, players in the Belgian squad, France. Tottenham had so many players at the World Cup in 2018 that had played a long season and then played into the semi-finals. And then they were straight back to playing the Premier League. And I think we had a lot of players who were just worn out when they came back for that season. So I'm quite sure Trippier wasn't the only person who was under 100%.
Yeah, I agree with that. Lee, were you surprised to hear those comments from Trips? Do you think the fact he came out and actually mentioned that the crowd booing does really get to a player? Do you think that was quite a revealing?
No, I just think it's honest. It's honest. If you played the game, I mean, if you pretended that you can't hear the crowd, then something wrong with you. And you know, you get paid good amounts of money, and he did kind of say that. Listen, the fans pay a lot of money to come in and watch, and they're gonna want to air their opinion sometimes. And there's only one real way where they can do it, and that's when they're there. They've paid their 60, 70 quid for a ticket, and you're not showing up. You've not brought yourself to the party properly. So fans are gonna let you know what they think. Sometimes wrongly, and sometimes rightly. But I cast my mind back, and I remember Trippier actually, I think maybe just after leaving or in the process of the transfer, he said he hadn't been fit. He said he played a lot of the season, and he wasn't. He was, you know, he's 75% fit for most. So you got to ask yourself what Poch is doing at that point as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So, yeah, do we have to...
You know, because it seemed that Poch was happy to play some players when they weren't particularly fit, and then others when they weren't. So, you know, why put him through that? And if you're talking about what did we have there, as you mentioned, we had three right backs potentially there at one point. So why are you killing the lad? You know, why are we running him into the ground?
He mentioned the Ajax game, didn't he? And obviously that was where he did make his mistake for the goal as well. So there's a few others. So that was interesting. He also mentioned Ndombele, who we've not talked about this week, who does seem to be a bit of a contentious issue. Obviously, he again didn't get a look in against West Ham, and he was talking about him. He was waxing lyrical about him, said he's going to be an absolute beast and very, very hard to play against, almost like Dembele would be. So, are we thinking that it's what do you think the situation is, Don, at the moment with Ndombele?
It's a hard one.
It's not like he hasn't had the opportunities to play him. It's not like we haven't, you know, there's five subs available now. And also, especially in the Man United game, that was when I thought we needed him bringing on Winks was not the move. So what's happening? So is he just doing another? Is he just rolling himself into another like hissy fit like he did with Pogba?
By all accounts, during the lockdown and training, it looks like, you know, Jose had made an effort to sort of reach out, and maybe, you know, you started off on the wrong foot. Maybe you've got me wrong. I want the best for you, that type of thing. And maybe, you know, it sort of calmed down during lockdown. And then we've got back to, you know, first stage of training and it all seems well, no one's saying anything. And then we get to this game against Man United and we are all crying out for this guy to either start or be part of that game. And it doesn't happen. Next game comes and it's exactly the same thing. I don't know. I really don't know. I feel as if, you know, by all reports coming out of France, it's saying that he doesn't want to play for the manager. And we've heard that. We haven't heard anything from the club. Although I think Jose was asked and he said it's not true. But I just don't think that he wants to play for us. And I think that we need to cut our losses. We just don't really, we can't afford to have 50, 60 million pounds. We're not Man United where we can just make it good, or we can't do stuff like that. So we just need this to work. And if it doesn't work, then we need to find another solution.
Talking to Man United, Fernandes just scored a couple more today. Do we really, I suppose we don't have to talk about it every week, but it's just really frustrating because he just seemed like it was going to be a good player for us. And then we just went for the other Fernandes who looked really interesting.
I think that if we are, you know, we've talked about the Champions League today and we've kind of dug up the old dirt. And if we're honest, it all roads lead to maybe poor recruitment in the last few years. And again, you know, it's a player that we clearly, you know, I read reports that he wanted to come to Tottenham.
Most reports, it was just down to money. It was down to the fee.
We just need to strike at the right time.
We're trying to get him cheap.
Exactly. And it backfired.
And I think...
the first time.
Yeah, no, and I just think overall, my only view, and I won't have a Serge Aurier breakdown about it, but my only view on it is we could have had him for, I think they wanted 40 at the time and we was offering 30. And then when we got up to 40, they were like, well, we want 50 now because Man United have matched you. And before Man United even got involved, he could have been ours, signed, sealed and delivered. And we've got 50 million's worth sitting on a bench, having an absolute tantrum with the manager and the manager having an absolute tantrum back at him. And now this geezer's rocked up over in Manchester and he's dragged them from mid-table into probably a Champions League driving seat. And he looked like the perfect replacement for number 23. And it's frustrating as hell.
It repeats and repeats. You know, I've read this week that United are looking at Jack Grealish. Well, you know, for the sake of a few million pounds, Grealish would have been wearing a white shirt by now.
Yeah. This is true. I think he had a very, very good season last season as well. I think he's become a better player. But obviously, we could see potential there. But again, it comes down to it. You know, listeners at home are going to be like, we know this. No, what are you even talking about? It is Levy. That's why we all get, you know, pissed off when we see the season ticket prices. You know, he likes a bargain. He likes to squeeze what he can. And that's, you know, it's got us where we are today in this situation. We have a very, very amazing stadium. We have a good squad. But could it be better? I think so. Okay, so we are back in action on Thursday night against Sheffield United away. We were due to be going up to that game, weren't we, Kofi? We had tickets, we had trains, we had
Tomodachione.
That would have been a really, really good one. That's quite annoyed actually because Sheffield's a good night out and I think it was a 5:30 kickoff. That would have been a wicked game. But Bramall Lane I've been to Hillsborough, but Bramall Lane I've not been to, so that would have been great. So we're up there obviously still as a team, but obviously we're not going there ourselves, so it's going to be an interesting one, I think, because Sheffield United have had an absolute mare since they've come back. Like, it's been a serious, just, they look a completely different team. For someone who used to be someone, for some team that used to be so tight at the back, like, they've just completely gone to pot, and it's been quite incredible, I think. And obviously then we're going to play them and they're going to turn us over. That's just standard us, isn't it? It's just like balls to your blimmin' form. So Lee, what kind of game are you expecting? Do you think that Sheffield United are going to turn up? They obviously had some away games, but it's still, they've just looked really, really dodgy at the back.
Yeah. I think the Sheffield United we're seeing now is the Sheffield United that everyone thought was going to rock up in back in August. And they've actually turned out to be a half-decent unit, and they're well-organised, well-drilled, and play a decent bit of football. But I think, more importantly, I think people have started to suss them out, started to suss out their tactics and the way they play. And, you know, they had the overlapping centre-backs rather than the full-backs, and they had a couple of players in the middle of the park that were probably not given enough respect in terms of what they could do with a football. So 30-odd games in now, people have sussed them out. You know, add a 8-week, 10-week break to that, and all the teams coming up against them are watching them a little bit more and paying a bit more attention to them. And yeah, it's affected them. It's affected them. So I think we're going to see a quite tight game, and I think it'll unfold very similar to the West Ham game. To be honest, I think it'll be quite tight. It'll be a game of not many clear cut chances, but so it's going to be who's the most clinical on the night. So I'm hoping that based on the way we look to be moving, when you consider our restart, we've been slow getting into games, but we said in the group on the social media, when you look at it, 4 from 6 is probably what most people would have taken at that point. I'm happy with our points return. Could have been happier if we paid attention against United, but I'm happy with our points return. What I would have liked to see is probably a bit more dynamic football.
I think you can use that word.
Beggars can't be choosers, I suppose. So I'll take the points. And
but that's not the route we want to go down. We don't want to go down the anti-football route, don't we? We don't want to be the 1-0 team. That's not us. We don't want to see that, do we, Kofi?
Oh, not at all. And I think we're getting into our stride. And I agree with Lee completely. 4 from 6 is good. We're playing better. We're getting fitter. It's a great time to play Sheffield United. There's a real opportunity here. You know, it's one of those teams that's around us. You know, the team that we need to push away from to try and get into fifth spot. So it's all to play for. We need to go out and play from the off as if we want this game, because United will be up for it. They're at home. They've had a bit of a rough time. Their manager will get them going. So we've got to be at it.
Don, do you think we are going to be at it?
Yeah, I think I agree with Kofi. I think that, you know, I'm looking forward to this game. I really am looking forward to this one. I agree with Lee that we're seeing the old Sheffield United, or the Sheffield United that we thought were going to come up in August. I don't agree with Lee in the sense that I think it's going to be kind of, that they're going to be that up for it. I think they only know how to play one way, and the manager's going to send them out there to win, and that's will be their downfall. I believe that the problem will come from them thinking, you know, we need to return back to what we used to be, what we were doing before, and that's where they'll fall short. So yeah, I think it's a perfect game for us. I think it's the type of game that they'll fall into a Jose Mourinho trap.
Do you think he's going to go with the same team that started? Do you think he's going to maybe move Bergwijn in for Moura, as Lee said he would have started that game? Who do you think he's going to go with player-wise?
Player-wise, I think, you know, it's going to be the same back five. I think the midfield is kind of picks itself at the moment. So the front three, you know, it's whether is it Lucas, is it Lamella? I think he's going to start Lamella. I think that Lamella will start for this game, and it will be Lamella, Son, Stevie and Kane up front.
And then in the middle, Winks and Sissoko. What about Lo Celso? No, Lo Celso.
I think Lo Celso is going to be on the bench again. It's a weird one with him. I want to personally see him play further forward.
Mm.
But I think that Mourinho kind of save him in case we're in trouble. But I think that he'll start Winks and Sissoko.
Okay, and prediction?
3-0.
Oh man, you is a joker. Okay, all right. Lee, over to you to cast your crystal ball over proceedings at Bramall Lane.
Yeah, I think we go with I think he takes out Lucas and puts Bergwijn in. If that's kind of the route I'd go down, that'd be my one change. I don't see anything else change. I think the Celso has to play. I think if we're not going to play Ndombele at any point, then everything's going to go through this lad. He looks mustard. He looks like he can do a little bit of everything. And he puts himself about as well. And he's got the feet to just kind of find a cheeky little pass, which is very similar to Lamela in terms of he puts himself about. But the cheeky little pass is never the end product, is it? So I think Lamela will stay on the bench. I think Lucas drops out for me. Bergwijn comes in. I think he sticks with Ali, rightly or wrongly. And I think we nick it 2-1.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. No clean sheet for Lloris, and I put him in my fantasy league team.
Rightly so. He's been quality since the return. He has been good. So fair play to him.
Kofi, what are we saying?
I think we're going to win the game. I think the back five is, I agree with what everyone else has said. It kind of picks itself for now. Probably shouldn't have, but it does.
Sheffield United don't have a massive amount of pace up front. Surely would this not be another good time to bring Toby in? Utilise that long-range passing that we definitely have missed. Ali loves his long-range passing. Kane loves his long-range passing.
It's a good option.
It gives us another outlet. You know, Sanchez offers us nothing going forward. When the ball at his feet, as Lee said, he's hiding behind his sofa.
As Lee said earlier, Dyer needs to keep playing to be good. So I think Dyer will keep his place. And I think Sanchez offers the pace that Dyer doesn't have. So I think you probably give Toby a bit of a run when we're ahead deep in the second half. For Dyer, Winks and Sissoko for me, but up front I think Lo Celso's got to play. I think he's the man that can give us that dynamism, takes us through transition. He's got to play, so I see Son, Ali and Kane, and my prediction would be 3-1.
Nice.
Don's
happy with that. Don likes that.
I like it. I do like it. Exciting. Nice one, Kofi.
Oh man, I'm not. I don't know. I'm not as confident as you guys. I just don't. I can't see it. I think it's going to be 1-1. Sorry, guys.
Let's finish on a low, shall we?
What a bad person. What am I? What has life become?
A realist.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I just don't know. I just got a weird feeling about it. I never normally predict a draw, but yeah, I just got a feeling. I don't know. I still don't think he's got them clicking. That's the thing. It's just not got them clicking. And I think obviously, you know, there were other teams, but then if you look at Chelsea and Man U, the way they've started, absolutely flying. Like they're proper coming out the blocks. Like they look like they've been playing together far more recently than any of us have.
Well, I think it's about being organised. I think when you look at what when they played the other lot down the road, you know, they thrive on set pieces. So, you know, if we're going to give up a goal, it's going to be self-inflicted. You can bet your bottom dollar. It usually is. I think 78% of our goals under Jose or something have been self-inflicted. So we don't want to be giving away silly free kicks or unnecessary corners, basically, with these lot. And if we can avoid that, then when we put the ball in the middle of the pitch and play football, I expect us to undo them. And therefore, I think we, you know, if we can play football, we'll take them, we'll finish them off.
How's Serge Aurier going to cope with Ender Stevens raging down the left hand side?
How does Serge Aurier cope? Full stop. We've had a good show tonight, mate. We don't need to finish on an episode.
He wasn't that bad against West Ham, though, Lee. I wouldn't think he was that bad.
I think my problem with him in his position, and only from a tactical point of view, is he plays so far up the pitch,
and he's
got to do more because he's got his feet on, he's got his feet on the touchline, and every time we gave him the ball, you then want him to turn around and run the fullback to the dead ball line and try and get a corner or try and get a cross in.
We've been saying this for years.
If you watch carefully, Don, he doesn't do it. He actually just taps it back to the player who gave it to him. Or he goes even further back and gives it to Sanchez. And then when he does deliver a cross, he delivers it by not beating the man. So he only delivered a cross when the man is stood 5 yards off him and he can put a ball in the box, which then becomes a 50-50. Everyone talks about this crossing thing. They go, oh, he's amazing. He does all these assists and he's clinical. He's actually not. When you watch Wan-Bissaka, you watch him. He gets the ball in the same position and he will run at the fullback and he will win a corner and he will win a throw-in down by the corner flag, or he'll run to the edge of the box and make things happen. And actually, Serge is either one of two things.
I'll have a look here, but I'm interested to see on the next podcast, maybe we can dig out the assist stats for Wan-Bissaka and Serge Aurier, because it'll be surprising. And I'm almost ready to gamble £5 with you that Serge has got more assists than Wan-Bissaka. I'm agreeing with you on some of it, but I reckon he's more effective. I think the stats will be in Serge's favour.
My point with it is this: Wan-Bissaka's probably brought 22 or 23, and he's already streets ahead in terms of knowing what to do in a certain area of the pitch when he gets the ball, right? Because go and look at that West Ham game again. Watch where Serge is. His position is unbelievable. And Lo Celso and Lucas, and they're all knocking him the ball out on the touchline. And you want to say, go on, get around him. Make something happen. And the first thing he does is gives it straight back to them. And it's one of two things. He's either not confident or has the ability to get past somebody. And he's fast and he's strong, so he should do. Or two, he's just a flat out lazy.
It was a classic, though. That's what Trippier was doing towards the end of his Tottenham career. It's exactly the same, because maybe he was unfit, as like we already heard, or maybe the fact he was also lacking in confidence. It seems to be a bit of both, but he should not be like that. And the thing with Serge is he has got an amazing cross on him, but we just don't see it enough. Like, yeah. I can't remember the last time I saw a proper ping, like curling cross, like he has done in his Tottenham career. But he, like, as Lee says, he's getting the ball at the edge of the 18-yard box, and he's always hitting the first man. And that's not good enough, and especially when he's playing so high. I think his stats will show that Aurier's got more assists, but I think that Wan-Bissaka will show that he has created more chances. But then also, he's playing a normal right-back role. Aurier is almost like a right wing-back. Like, he has hardly any defensive duties. So he's literally given that right-hand side his freedom to roam. So he should be more creative, 100%.
I think that's what we've got to realise. We're playing a whole formation that's suited around this one player. It's suited around him because we don't do it on the left. That's why Ben Davies plays. You could almost, and this is what I say in the messages during the game, you could almost stick Lucas in his position, because the way Sissoko drops in and covers him for him, and Lo Celso even, the way they get across and make tackles back, you may as well have Lucas there, because actually Lucas can go past somebody and he tackles back, and probably not as reckless as Aurier, if truth be told. So if you're going to play a formation that suits one player, he needs to be far more effective than he actually is. And that's where my gripes. And you know what? Maybe my gripe doesn't sit totally with him. Maybe Mourinho's got to look at it and go, you know what? Because the other option was Aurier sits in as a full right back, which we know he's not capable of. And then you take out Davies, you call Rose back, and you let Rose play that far up on the left-hand side of the pitch. But we know that's not possible anymore. But that's the way Mourinho plays. So he made the call. Doesn't trust Rose. He doesn't trust Rose. Doesn't trust Aurier as a right fullback. But he trusts Ben Davies to sit in, make up the back three, when needed, and he trusts Aurier to get up the line, put crosses in, and be effective. And he's not doing the latter. So he doesn't deserve his place in that team, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we are always concerned what you're concerned with, Lee.
I'm glad it's noted. Glad it's noted.
What a way to finish. Ranty yeah. Badman.
I think that was a bit more tactical analysis.
Rant off. No, that was true. I agree with you, and I've said it before, but it just seems like it was just a frustration of our fullbacks, and it was the same under Poch, in that they just, you know, I can't remember the last time, and I think Kyle Walker-Peters was the last one who actually really tried to get to the byline, and he wasn't the best. We've already said this before on the show, but at least he had that attacking instinct to beat that man. And Aurier has it on his locker, I think, which is the most frustrating thing. I think he does, but maybe he's... Oh, I don't know. Well, who knows? Who knows what is he being told on the training pitch to do in games? But so far, he's not stepped up, I don't think, enough to really, really warrant his place. But then who else would you play? One Foyt? Is Foyt available at the moment? Is he on the bench? Is he even hanging around?
Well, apparently, according to Mourinho, he's injured, but there is a chance that he could play this season. I mean, who knows? You know, there's talk of him going to Leeds for a whole season. But, you know, I would like to have seen him this. This is the thing with these 9 games that we've had. It would have been good to see the likes of Foyth against Aurier to be able to choose between the two.
Definitely.
But unfortunately, at the moment...
I thought he's looked okay. But none of them have looked at the level that we should have, basically. I think that's the thing. They need to be up to that level. So we'll see. Maybe Max Aarons, if Norwich get relegated. I think a lot of clubs are going to want to be after him, but I think he looks pretty cool. Right, okay. That just leaves me to thank our panel for this evening. Thank you very much, guys. Great to have you once again. Thank you to Lee. Thank you to Kofi. Thank you to Don. We will be joining you again next week. Have a fantastic week, and fingers crossed we get another fantastic 3 points on Thursday. Come on, you Spurs.